Well, as I mentioned at the start of worship today, today is the festival of the naming of Jesus. And this is a very special day today because this only ever falls on a Sunday about once every 7 years. So it's not often a day in the church that we celebrate as a faith community. It might be one that you celebrate at home or with your daily readings, but it's less common that we would celebrate this day in a worshiping community. And that's important for a few reasons to think about the worshiping community and the worshiping life, because this is set on January 1st for a particular reason. January 1st follows 8 days after Christmas. And the story that we're hearing today is 8 days after Jesus was born. So that's why it's set on January 1st. But it's also a reminder that as we begin the new year, we begin it under the name of Jesus, that is our guiding principle going into the new year. Why I love to read this story in a faith community is that it really emphasizes the importance of ritual and belonging to a larger congregation that supports your faith and upbringing. God's Son himself was brought into a faith community. He followed the rituals and the customs of his people. I think that there's a lot to learn from that and to remember this very human aspect of Jesus' early life, that he was circumcised and he was named just as other Jewish boys were named on the eighth day. He was given the name Jesus. But this is also an extraordinary moment too, because the name that he was given was told to Mary by an angel. So we still have this extraordinary element that Jesus' name was given by the angel to Mary, that this is what he should be named. And as we discussed earlier in Advent, this name means God saves. It means God saves. And yet it also comes from the Hebrew word, the Hebrew name Joshua, which was an incredibly common name at the time. It'd kind of be like naming someone John or Mary today, very common names. So it's both incredibly ordinary and incredibly extraordinary, much in keeping with most of the Christmas narrative. It's this meeting of these extraordinary elements of angels and stars and magi coming, and yet a name that would have been heard in the streets and in the villages, a name with significance, and yet rituals that are commonplace yet special. Rituals that are familiar yet meaningful. And so much of this we find in our worshiping communities today. We find things that are familiar, things that are comforting, but carry great meaning to us as a community of faith. All of this connects Jesus to the generations that have come before him. The rituals, the stories, the names of the people in his lineage. And that is where our cover art for our bulletin comes from this Sunday. So if you haven't taken a look at it, it's another one that's a little bit, maybe a little bit on the wild side for some of us. And so I wanted to kind of talk through what it symbolizes, because it's maybe not entirely transparent. This doesn't come out of today's reading, but it comes out of the genealogy found in Matthew's gospel. And portrayed in this, we see a rose in the center, and the rose is meant to symbolize Jesus. And then starting from the bottom left, we see five women going counterclockwise. And these are the five women that are named in the genealogy of Jesus. And so we start with Tamar, who is holding her father-in-law's insignia, which represents how she assumes the role as the leader of the tribe of Judah and continues this lineage. At the bottom, we see Rahab, who holds up the red cord, which she lowered to ensure the safety of her family after supplying the Israelite spies with enough information to achieve victory in Jericho and assure her own safety and the safety of her family. Next, in the bottom right, we see a woman holding wheat, and that is Ruth. Ruth was a gleaner in the fields, and this led to her encounter with Boaz and her being welcomed into the Israelite tribe despite being an outsider. She was not born into that tribe. She was a Moabite woman. So she is welcomed into the community of faith, much like Rahab is too. Rahab was also an outsider. So we see these women who are outsiders who are welcomed in to the family of faith. Next, we see Bathsheba up in the top right corner, and she's holding a crown in connection to both her husband, King David, and her son, King Solomon, who takes over the throne. And finally, the largest image is Mary, who gazes at the center, smiling with her hands to her chest. And the artist says, and the artist's name is Reverend Lauren Wright Pittman. So Pastor Pittman says that here she holds the love and pride of the beautiful lineage that leads to the birth of her son, the Messiah. And Reverend Pittman continues by saying that these women only wanted to ensure safety for themselves and for their children, and in the process, they ensured the continuation of the lineage of Christ. And without their brilliance, their passion, their ingenuity, their resourcefulness, creativity, and sacrifice, the lineage would have ended. I think that this is such an important thing to remember as we think of the naming of Jesus, of all the people that came before, the long story of salvation history that was present in this simple moment, this act, this ritual of circumcision and naming. Now, in our culture now, today, New Year's Day is often a day that we're looking towards the future. We're looking towards the next year or the next few years. We're coming up with a plan. And maybe some of you have done this in the past or do it every year or do it some years. You know, it's a year that we make resolutions for what's to come. And we're kind of focused on how do we exercise more or eat better or be more loving, be more patient. But when we celebrate this day in the life of the church, not only are we looking towards the future, but this festival day connects us to the signs of salvation that have come before. The church calls us to focus on the continued presence and blessing of God to his people throughout time. And our first lesson is a great example of that. In our first lesson, we hear the blessing of Aaron, the Aaronic blessing. And I mentioned this in the fall, but I know not all of us were here. This blessing that we hear is the oldest part of Scripture that we still have intact today, from when it was written to now. So it's not the oldest written, but it's the oldest written where we have the original all the way from the 7th century BC, and we still have that intact today. This is a prayer that was important in the 7th century BC and continues to be important today and has been important throughout history. So Martin Luther loved this prayer and this blessing, and he thought that it should be the ending, the benediction of worship services on Sunday mornings. And someone named Henry Muhlenberg, who was important to the Lutherans coming in America and settling in the Pennsylvania state or colony at that time, also thought it should be in regular rotation in the life of the church on Sundays. And some of you might hear me as I go around and give communion. This is a favorite blessing of mine that I give at communion of people for children or people that want blessings. I love this blessing. I love its history. I love that it's been in use for millennia. I love that it's been a favorite of so many Christians and pastors. And so with this ancient benediction, we begin each week, we begin each year under the name of God. We bless it with the name of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. So that brings us to today with how do we bless in the name of God? Jesus shows us what it means to bear the name of God in our very lives because we now bear the name of Jesus. We are Christians, Christians. So we bear the name of the one who saves. So we also can be the embodiment of God's grace and mercy, like Tamar, like Bathsheba, like Rahab, like Ruth, and like Mary. And we can pass on that blessing of God from generation to generation. Through today's rituals and gatherings, may we celebrate this long story of salvation history that we are a part of. The men and women who prepared for and passed on the blessing of God. And may we, like the parents of Jesus, greet the new year, full of prayer, full of singing, full of thanksgiving, that through Jesus, in Jesus, and with Jesus, the good news is given, that God saves.